Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter, in his first epistle, is trying to encourage the believer to remain faithful during times of temptation and discouragement. Now, I'm not sure which is worse, to either be discouraged or to be tempted. But any time either one of them come, it can create havoc in our Christian life. Jake Woodfin, in the fall 2020 issue of The Fundamentalist, wrote an article entitled, "I Want to Quit." He starts the article by saying, quote, "I never understand quitters, especially those that are in the ministry. I know that this temptation to quit is a problem that faces many in the ministry." He continues, "Many of us in the ministry at one point or another become overwhelmed and worn out. We struggle and feel useless and even unworthy, wanting to quit. Yet I do not understand this feeling of wanting to quit. Until now. Now I want to quit. I want to quit because ministry is hard, depressing, stressful, and just not fun. And to make things worse, we are in the midst of a global pandemic," unquote. So let me give you a little background on Brother Woodfin. He's a preacher's kid. Right there, you ought to have pity for him. He and his wife Haley, that's H-A-L-I, Haley moved to California to begin a Baptist church. They live on the third floor of an apartment where the rent is $3,400 a month. They have been mocked for having three children, as if they have committed an evil act by having more than one child. Because of the lack of support, he is a bivocational preacher. And as he stated, the ministry has become hard, depressing, stressful, and just not fun. But Brother Woodfin continues his article with some encouraging thoughts. All of us have reasons to quit, but here is the advice. Do not quit. Press on. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus found in Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And again, the thought from Hebrews 13, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So when the world trashes your good name, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee." When our people are apathetic and uncaring, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee." When our hearts are torn at the thought of the wickedness of our society, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee." When we feel totally and utterly and desperately alone, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee." We never quit on Jesus because Jesus never quits on us. Press on, unquote. Would you please stand as we read from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Peter, writing to this group of scattered believers, says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, at this moment, special blessings for Brother Woodfin there in California. Have your hand upon him in his ministry, Lord. And we thank you for his words where you said, I will never leave thee. Lord, be with us this day. And Lord, we don't know the issues and struggles that each one in this room may have. But Lord, we know that you are with us always. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, for the salvation provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. But ye are a chosen generation. Folks, do you feel special about the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Now, we're not to be braggadocious or arrogant, but we are blessed. And that blessing is for all eternity. We are a royal priesthood. In other words, we are to proclaim the word of the Lord, both in word and in actions. We are a holy nation. We are to be a nation whose leader is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We are a peculiar people. Can I hear an amen there? I am glad to be a peculiar person. I am glad that things that the world thinks are great, I may look at and say, oh, well. But when it comes to the Word of God, I'm glad that I'm a born-again believer. That ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest they should see that glorious light. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you have the light, that eternal light. Peter's fellow disciple John wrote these words, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." 1 John chapter 5, verse 4b, even our faith. One, it is faith that hears the invitation of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1, it is faith that hears the invitation of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? We live in a noisy world. Well, we live in a society that is yelling and screaming constantly at us. I was reading an article that told me that you should get out and walk every day. And if possible, walk in the woods and turn off. Uh-oh, you know where I'm going, don't you? And turn off your social media. Leave it in the car. Oh, I can't handle that. Yesterday, my wife took my phone. She's thinking of getting a new me. Pastor Stephen says, come January 1st, my phone will be a paperweight. Because it's only a G3. Do you know how I felt when my wife took my phone yesterday? Liberated. Liberated. She couldn't contact me. You couldn't contact me. And I'm there with my grandkids. The only problem was I went to Myers yesterday about 5 o'clock. I will survive. But I'm going to tell you this. We live in a noisy society. And it does us well to get away from the noise. Be still and know that I am God, our Lord says. Listen for the still small voice that he uses. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The other day I'm driving north on Van Dyke, and there was a pizza place with a sign out saying, pizza, $5. Now I didn't stop. So what's that tell you? I didn't listen. I just continued on my way. You know, there are many people that the Lord is saying, I'm here, and they're not listening by faith. We hear the invitation of Christ. Number two, our faith calls upon the Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you would, please. Romans 10, beginning at verse 9. Our faith calls upon the Lord. There are many things out there today that are saying, listen to me. Listen to me. Call me. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to make sure that we've called upon the Lord. We need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with our Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 7. It is a faith that believes that Jesus Christ can, will, does, and has forgiven all our sins. I tell you what, that should make you happy that he has forgiven all our sins. You took that last chocolate chip cookie? You knew you weren't supposed to. Aren't you glad the Lord forgave you of that? You were driving down the road, the speed limit was 25, and the guy in front of you was doing 21. What did you do? Man, you were frustrated. Don't you know the speed limit's 25? And you're doing 21? Tell me that you weren't frustrated. And then as he turned, what did you do, man? You laid on the horn. Aren't you glad he forgives you of that sin? You've never done that? Oh, I guess I need to bow down and pray and ask God to forgive me right now. Yes. You think your pastor's really sinless, don't you? Luke chapter 7, verse 48. And he, Jesus, said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Folks, I'm glad I don't have to go through eternity with sin on my conscience. That it has been forgiven, removed, gone, never to be comprehended and thought about again. And number four, it is faith that commits itself to Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Are you committed to our Lord? I'm not asking, are you committed on Sunday morning and you get here at 11-ish and you sing the songs and you give an offering and thank you for that and then you listen and then you go on your way. No, I mean, are you committed through the week? Are you committed to the Lord? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Paul speaking to Timothy. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, I know you think that someone in the ministry is always the pastor or a missionary, but may I say this, every one of us that knows Christ as our Savior has been put into the ministry. We are to be ministers of Christ, ambassadors for Christ. And it's faith that commits itself to Jesus Christ. Number five, it is faith that finds its rest in Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 11, if you would please. Matthew chapter 11. We'll look at verse 28. It is faith that finds its rest in Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Folks, we live in a world that is spiritually exhausted, spiritually searching. And yet Jesus says, "Come. I'll give you rest. I'll take care of you." I don't know how the world survives that doesn't have Jesus Christ. Their concerns and fears and worries that are happening every day around society. And Jesus, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace of mind. I'll give you comfort." Number five is he will give us rest. Number six, it is faith that is willing to work for Jesus. Willing to work. Notice in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." When they wanted the oxen to work, how did the oxen know? They put the yoke on them. They put the yoke on them, and that is how they knew it was time to go to work. And they went. They went to work. Notice what he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Which leads us to number seven. It is faith that walks in truth. 3 John 3 and 4, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Folks, we are being lied to on a regular basis. Advertisements come at us, commercials come at us, billboards scream things at us, and you can believe everything there, right? You can believe everything on Facebook. Come on now, can't you? Would they lie to you? Blatantly. Blatantly. And how about those who try to scam you? We know that there are those who constantly are trying to make your money their money. But walk in truth. Which brings us to the conclusion. 5 points in the conclusion. We are saved by something. Grace. For by grace are you saved. You don't deserve it. You deserve hellfire. Every one of you. And me also. Every one of us deserve it because of our sins. But God's grace is given to us so that we can have salvation. So we are saved by something. We are saved through something. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're saved by something. You're saved through something, your faith. We are saved from something, sin. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. What time of year is it? Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Can I ask you a personal question? How many of you think that we have to have snow if we have when Christmas comes? That we have to have it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You are outnumbered. Yes. The most of us think we don't have to have it. You know how I know you don't have to have it? I spent 4 Decembers in Texas, and we never had snow on Christmas. So I know you don't have to have it. But let's read this verse here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We are saved from something. Sins. And those sins condemn us to hellfire. But Jesus' blood saves us from hellfire. Number 5, we are saved to something. John chapter 1, if you would, please. John chapter 1. We are saved to something. I've told you the story how I was going off to college in Texas. And I was flying down to Texas with Lynn Long. She was a girl from the church here, and we were both going off to the same Bible college. And we were going to be flying on Braniff. How many of you remember when there used to be a Braniff? Anybody remember Braniff? Okay. And so we're there at Metro, we're outside the building. We're ready to go inside, and I'm dressed in my one sport coat so that I don't have to pack it, and I'm wearing my sunglasses. I look really cool. I'm 17 and 360-some days. I'll turn 18 in a couple of days. I think I'm cool, and my dad pushes me up against the wall. He wanted my full attention. And he says, I want you to remember something. He says, I want you to remember that you're a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. I mean, you're going to be down there at that Bible college, and there'll be lots of guys and girls from different churches, and I want you to remember that you're from the Covenant Baptist Church. And then he said, I want you to remember that you're a Madonna. Now, at that time, the only Madonnas in Sterling Heights were us. Of course, this year, a Madonna was the quarterback for Stevenson High School. Did you know that? Yes, and he led them to a number of games in the playoffs and did well until they met someone and they got the snot beat out of them. Can I say snot from up here? Okay, thank you. I just did. But you are a Madonna. So I had to represent the Madonna. That's a lot of pressure to put on a 17-plus kid, you know? Church, family, and then the big one. That you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And you are representing Christ. I'm going off to Texas. I'm going to go off and have fun. I mean, isn't that where you go to college? Yeah. A right relationship is very important. You are saved to something, a relationship. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Aren't you glad that you're a child of the King? Aren't you glad that you are his? And if you're not glad today, you will be glad when you stand before the judge of the universe and he sees the blood and Jesus says, I've taken care of him. I've taken care of him. Which brings us to our last point. We are saved for something. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are saved for service. For service. Don't think, well, I'm saved, that's all I've got to do. That's just the beginning, folks. Paul, writing to this group of believers in Ephesus, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're saved by something, that being grace. We are saved through something, that being faith. We are saved from something, that being sin. We are saved to something, a relationship. We are saved for something, service. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I hope you have this verse underlined in your Bible. I hope you have it highlighted somehow in your Bible. And if you don't want to highlight your one Bible, then get another Bible you don't mind highlighting. Verse 58, you know it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're saved for something. Service. And the job isn't done yet. Shall we stand together? 375 will be our song of invitation. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now, I'm not asking you, do you have religion? Man, religion abounds in our world today. Religion is man's attempt to get in a right relationship with the Lord. But there's only one way to get in right relationship with the Lord, and that's through Jesus Christ. I'm not asking, do you go to church, what good works you've done, but have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And if you have, praise God for that. Are you working the way you should? Because all of us are going to have our works judged by fire. And what survives, we are then going to be able to give to Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we had to use a dump truck to dump our things in front of Jesus? Or at least a wheelbarrow? How sad it'll be that some people won't have anything to give to Jesus because they haven't done anything. The fact of the matter is we have a job to do. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, bless it as only you see fit and as only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.